Welcome to another week of the Trojan Preview. Asa Lucas here with the Atlantic Trojans head football coach Joe Bremer. Coach, thank you very much for being with us, and congratulations on that win last week.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, Asa.
Coach, we'll review that a little bit. 35-34 win, brought in some overtime drama. The kids were excited. I think the parents were ready to jump off of the bleachers and into your arms. Congratulations on that. A lot of drama, but you told me in our recap that we posted about last week, your message to your players, but what else do you want fans to know? What did that mean win for Atlantic football, winning 35-34 in overtime?
Yeah, no, it was a good win all the way around. I thought we played really well, offensive, defensively, and special teams. I mean, all three phases of the game, Ethan McNeil's kick return was really good. I thought we ran the ball up front really well, threw when we had to again. And I think we had four picks on the night. So overall, it was a really good, complete game. It kind of just goes back to what we were preaching and talking about. Coach Satoff loves to bring it up, is you see your rewards of your work like 6 months later. Like, what did you do 6 months ago? Where were we working at? What were we doing? Why do we do summer workouts? Why do we work out in the spring? That this is kind of the fruits of that labor, that we had some early mornings, some kids getting up, some driving in and working hard, and this is the product that comes from that, because we've had a really good buy-in with our kids. We had about 50-plus kids at summer weights. I think we had about 40-something-plus at spring weights, that the buy-in really then produces good results, like last Friday night.
And now you got a 1-1 Greene County team coming up. And what's been your focus, and what have you seen be the best way to encourage positive momentum?
Yeah, you know, we talked about on Monday, like, the helmet's got to fit. Like, it's great to have a win. It's awesome, but we can't get too big for our britches here and overlook anybody. Greene County's a really good team. They have a really good running game, just like us. I think they threw the ball twice against Perry and won, like, 36-9, something like that. So it's kind of similar styles of what we want to do. Just out of the gun, it looks slightly different. But they want to run the ball. They want to establish the run. They have the Nick Stream as their running back. That's their feature guy they want to get the ball to. And defensively, that's who we have to key on. Their left-handed quarterback makes things just a little bit different. Like, to roll to the left, do everything kind of opposite of like a normal team. So it's just different enough that you have to prepare for it and know and look. And we're lucky enough that we had Nolan Waters last year that ran our scout team type of stuff from time to time, who's a left-handed player, when he wasn't playing corner for us. So we're used to seeing some leftiness, throwing the ball, running the ball. So it's something that we need to definitely account for it. And then, you know, it starts and ends with the Daughtry kid. I probably butchered his name, but their middle linebacker wears 31. He's got like 25 and a half tackles in two games. Like, yeah, he's pretty good. That we got to find him and block him, otherwise he's gonna make tackles.
I mean, two kids last week that I felt made a huge impact on defense was Kinnick Jewell and Evan Sorensen. It's amazing to see the difference with Kinnick Jewell back out in that secondary spot, what he's been able to do. And the same with Evan Sorensen. There was three plays in a row where he was in the backfield getting tackles. What's impressed you about those two this year?
Yeah, you know, Kinnick's doing it with one arm. I mean, like, he's out there with his club. That, you know, that speaks volumes, his toughness, his character. You know, if you have a broken arm, like, you could legitimately sit out. Like, it's something that you could put as, I'm going to play basketball this year, like, tennis coming up. Like, I want to be healthy until, like, sit out that 4 to 6 weeks. He ended up sitting about one, maybe two weeks there from when it happened, and he was all good to go. And, you know, he casts up, brace up, and he goes out there every week like a warrior. You know, it kind of speaks volumes. When he was a sophomore, he dislocated his finger in practice, popped it back in, and then buddy taped it, and then went back out to practice as like a sophomore. And that was a guy that was just on scout team. So Kinnick's a tough kid. We knew we were going to get that out of him. I think he has another pick if he has two hands. We had one dropped kind of late that bounced right off the club, but he's in the right spot. He's doing the right things. And then, like you said, you can notice the difference of everybody's in the right spot. There's a difference between that TJ game and the last two that we've had, is everybody's in the right spot. Everybody knows their role. They know where they're at. And I think that's a testament to Kinnick being out there in that leadership. As far as Evan, yeah, no, Evan's, he's a mauler, man. He wreaks havoc back there. We kind of moved him around the defensive line, put him at end, put him at tackle. That we think you have to account for him quite often. Evan's got a good motor. He does a really good job using his hands. The wrestling background comes into play. That he wrestles heavyweight, but I think Evan is about 245, 240 on a good day. That he's not small enough to cut down to that 220 class, so he's used to playing against guys that are bigger and stronger, and definitely a lot taller than he is. So he plays with really good leverage. that, no, I think you're referring to down the goal line there, kind of like the first or second drive that they went into their double tight wing package that they had that we were planning on, you know, they run out of it. Everything that we've seen was 100% run, so we sold out in the run, and Evan did a really good job on some slant and loop stuff that we installed and made three really good plays and held him to a field goal, which was huge in the grand scheme at the end of the game when he ended up being tied. That it was a huge win on that drive, and then that was a testament to Evan and his effort there.
You know, we don't really do MVPs of the game, or I haven't heard of you doing game balls. Maybe is that something you do?
We have a Monday award. We call it our Green Monsters. What we do is kind of stolen from college, stolen from some stuff I've seen, the reverse effect of some shows, that we reward kids by wearing a green jersey out of practice. So if you go out to our practices and you see kids in green jerseys, that those are the kids that are kind of either like a really good game, really good week of practice, stat line, and a scout team player type of thing. That we have three jerseys that we hand out each week, that we put the number 32 on them, and then we put a big S, like the Superman S in the front. It kind of stems from Steel McLaren, that Steel was worth 32, so we hold it pretty special, pretty high honor, that if you get that jersey that week, that it's a really big deal. You know, and some of those guys you mentioned have been our Green Monsters of the Week in the past. A lot of them are on our scout team helmet that we have, that we carry it over from year to year, that we sign it, and that's just a testament to, like, hey, like, Kenick Jewell is on the scout team helmet like two or three times from his sophomore year. And weird how now he's a senior captain that is an all-district player that's starting. That it doesn't just happen overnight. It takes time. Like, a lot of those guys that are playing right now for us, we're on our scout team. So we have that type of stuff. It's not really something we post in the public a whole ton. I could probably do a better job of that, or telling people or putting it out on social media. But it's kind of just a thing that we do internally as a reward, as a kind of a hey, that it's visually seen by the team and that these kids are held in really high standards for us.
So recapping then from Glenwood, who from this week are you going to choose to be those representatives and to be those Green Monsters?
Yeah, so Sunday night we have our coaches meeting. We talk about it as a coaching staff. Ultimately, that we came up, we had three guys that stood out above the rest, we thought, with their effort and their play, that we were rewarding Hunter Nelson in the secondary spot because they were trying to pick on him and throw his way a lot, that he stepped up in a big role filling in for Sawyer, who was hurt. And then we had Evan Sorensen and Traven Hansen, our center, that Traven had a really good game, getting guys in the right spot, calling the shifts, calling the motions, calling our plays. That it's kind of really vital to play center for us, that he stepped up big for us, and those are going to be our three Green Monsters this week.
Another name I wanted to mention was Jared Hansen. I felt like both sides of it, he was making a huge impact throughout that whole game, not to mention getting the game-winning touchdown on a unique third and goal-esque type play in overtime that you and I discussed. But tell me, what has helped Jared Hansen's game not only improve but seem to skyrocket his senior year?
Yeah, you know, Jared had a really good season for us last year. It was just kind of overshadowed by Colton Rasmussen's really good, and we couldn't get those guys the ball. That we definitely went in this offseason with some stuff that we can't just sit straight back and drop and throw the ball 15, 20 times a game and just sit there and get the results that we wanted. So we've been really focusing on moving the pocket, moving our quarterbacks, doing a lot more play action pass and bootleg stuff. That way we can put these guys in the open field one-on-ones to make sure that Jared's not exactly the tallest guy you've ever seen, that get him in space and get him open to make plays. Same thing with like a Brock Goodrich out there, that we want to get our tight ends in space, our shifty guys that can move really well in some open one-on-one areas against most of the time taller defenders. So I think he's really blossomed in the kind of scheme and offense that we're doing with our bootlegs and our rollouts, because it allows him to then be able to move really quickly across the line of scrimmage or you know, across defenders and zones and this and that. And it kind of gets lost in there.
And what would you like to see from the Trojans this Friday heading into their contest against Greene County?
Yeah, we got to stop the run. It's really going to be a point of emphasis this week that we got to be lined up correctly. They don't have a ton of formations that they're going to throw at us, but what they do have, they run really well. That we need to make sure that the run game gets stopped. You know, that's going to be a point of emphasis on both sides. I'm guessing that they're going to try to stop our running game. That we need to make sure our running game's going. Try to keep some fresh legs in there. I need to get McNeil in there a little bit more. Give Ethan some more explosive plays, hopefully. And then make sure Tyson stays fresh and ready to go up the middle.
All righty. Once again, Coach, just want to say thank you. That's the Atlantic Trojans head football coach Joe Brummer joining us here on the Trojan Preview. Good luck, Coach.
Appreciate it.